Hello, friends. Welcome back to another episode of Real Talks. I'm your host, David Steele, and I'd like to welcome back my co-host, Ann Cargard. This is the sixth episode in a long line of them that will span over the course of several months as we analyze, critique, and dissect each and every Marvel film in chronological order of release. Last week, we did The Avengers, and this week, we'll be talking about Iron Man 3. Just a friendly reminder, if you like what you're hearing, you can always follow us wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Just search Real Talks. That's R-E-E-L Talks. Just like my name, S-T-E-E-L-E. Also, you can follow us on social media. I'm on Twitter at Wannabe Rounder, LinkedIn, and on Instagram at DKaduto. Where can they find you, Ian?
They can find me at Instagram under frogs_z, so that's FROOGZ_Z.
Just one last quick announcement. Our Patreon channel recently went live about a month ago. You can find it by typing Real Talks into the search bar. Let me tell you a little about it. We're offering five different levels you can support us at. $5, $10, $20, $30, and $40. If you do choose to support us, you'll have the opportunity to get some great perks, such as your name shouted out before every podcast, cool merch, and if you're one of our major contributors, you'll get a one-hour monthly Zoom meeting with Ilua and myself. For more details, just go to the website. I'll leave the link in the description. So without any further ado, let's dive into the movie. So, on to phase two we go. So this is the beginning of phase two, and the movie we're going to be speaking about today is Iron Man 3. So, of course, this one was made. So all of these movies are made by Marvel Studios, which has been established by now, and distributed by Paramount Pictures here in the States. The budget for this was a whopping $200 million, and it grossed $174.1 opening weekend. So, which I found interesting, was the 8th highest opening for Marvel of all time and 16th all time, eventually making $409 million domestically. And this went over to make $1 billion, which I thought was interesting. It was definitely, I think it was one of the first movies to actually make $1 billion for them. Once again, released in May. I mean, May is Marvel month. And this was actually released a little over 9 years ago. So as we move closer and closer to the release date of all these movies we're going to be talking about, they are going to be closer and closer. This was directed by Shane Black, best known for directing The Nice Guys back in 2016. Kiss Kiss Bang back in 2005 with Samuel L. Jackson, I believe, Gina Davis. And the bust of a film, which we won't talk about, it's called The Predator in 2018. He's only directed 7 movies in his career. I mean, 7 more movies that I've directed. But yeah, this one, I think a lot of people would tend to put in the lower, mid to lower third of the MCU rankings. Just because it was so. Because he really wasn't a well-known name. And they were established, but they really didn't know what they wanted to do. And so this movie takes place right after the events of The Avengers, and it opens with Tony Stark. We're at a party with him in 1999, and it opens with a flashback scene, which is interesting because this was one of the first films to do this. I think really the first film to do this. So it was kind of changing up the direction and how it goes, and he meets a botanist scientist named Mia Hansen, played by Rebecca Hall, and they're in Switzerland to celebrate the turn of the century. And that's when he meets the eventual villain, Aldrich Killian, played by Guy Pearce. And he's got a think tank that he's trying to get him to join all those years later. She has an experimental plan to work on. She has this research in plants that cause their DNA to actually change. And so she can actually, so she's trying to do the right thing and cure incurable diseases and paralysis. Let me ask you a question. Being from the medical field, do you think that this is something that maybe would ever, I mean, even if it was 25 or 30 years from now, ever work?
No. I don't think there's ever going to be a panacea like this. I mean, I don't think it's ever going to be possible. I don't see this happening. I mean, we'll be lucky if we cure cancer in 30 to 50 years, something to, you know, pretty much make us like axolotls and regrow limbs and things like that. I think we're way far in the future. It will take a few hundred years to accomplish something like that. I think that it's completely sci-fi.
Yeah, so, well, I mean, and I suppose that's why we do have prosthetics for, you know, that sort of thing. So we fast forward to 2012, and so Tony has now developed a little PTSD, and so, but he's obsessing about this Iron Man suit now, so that's all he does in his spare time. And he has, one of the shots you see is him in his little workshop, and he has about 8 or 9 suits. So this one is called the Mach 42. So this is actually one of the suits that can fly to him and reassemble on him. So it was a funny scene where he's actually, because it was a Christmas movie, not a Christmas movie, but it was around Christmas time, and you see Tony trying to do this, and, you know, Jingle Bells is playing, and all the pieces are coming at him, and he eventually gets them on him, and one of them misses him, and so the helmet's there, and he's like, come on, I'm not scared of you, so he gets the helmet on, and the other piece comes back and knocks them all off. So, yeah, and then, so, of course, Tony ignores Jarvis and basically says, I told you so. You know, your crush, Paul Bettany. So, you know, but Tony, so he continues the story. And so we see this new enemy come into play. And I'm curious, the first time you saw the Mandarin, what did you think of him?
I loved him. I mean, he was very threatening. And I thought he was like a great villain. And I'm like, man, this is like one of the better villains. And I was hoping that they would bring him back sometime. So I liked him. I liked him right away. But I always have soft spot for actors. So maybe that... I didn't know he was an actor. I didn't know he was an actor, but maybe I sensed it. Maybe I sensed it.
Yeah, I mean, but Ben Kingsley, I mean, my goodness, what a get you can get if you can, I mean, if you're Marvel, right? Sir Ben Kingsley wins an Oscar for Gandhi. I mean, and he looked the part, didn't he? So hijacks the American Airwaves and basically says, hey, guys, look, I bombed this little... I did these bombs. So he's taking credit for a few bombings that have happened. And so then he takes credit for this. And then he butts jokes at the president saying, look, I'm coming. So then we have James Rhodes, who, of course, Don Cheadle is back as War Machine / the Iron Patriot. He's now in red, white, and blue. And so you have all these late night talks. So he goes, really? They just changed the name? So the next scene you see is like, they're in a restaurant. He's like, yeah, it just tested better with people. War Machine was too aggressive.
Well, I'm sorry. He was the one hero that I wasn't a huge fan of because it has guns on it. I'm not, if I'm going to a movie, I want to see like no guns. I just want it to be like a whip or a bow and arrow. I'm not really a fan of that. I like Rhodes, but I don't like his suit.
Okay. So, but wait a minute. Tony shoots guns. I don't understand this.
I guess his main... I feel like the guns are like the main... The side guns. I think they're just too big, too in your face. But I'm not a huge fan of the suit for him. I like the character, but not his outfit.
Yeah. That's like Tony says at the end of the Avengers, or one of the movies. You want Iron Man, but wait. You don't want Tony's... You want Iron Man, but you don't want Tony Stark? How? No, so it's kind of the same premise. They're talking in a restaurant, and basically he and Rhodey gives them the dirt that there have been 9 bombings. The public only knows about 3. And there was a kid that asked him for his autograph, and he kind of gets very... He has an anxiety attack, and so he has to go back to the suit. And so it's like, okay, now we start to see the real PTSD kick in with him. You know, so he goes and basically says, okay, I have to really do this, and so... Back at Stark Industries, Pepper Potts, we see for a small clip, played by Gwyneth Paltrow, of course, is many years throughout the MCU, and she's got a 4 o'clock appointment, and Happy is all like, let's see the badge, let's see the badge, let's see the badge. So, of course, she has to, you know, pull him aside and look happy. Complaints have gone up 300%. Well, thank you very much. You know, so he takes it as a compliment. So just then... We see Killian come in, and he introduces the research to her and says, well, what if you could actually do this in somebody's brain? Well, this could be interesting, but it could also be translated to human weapons, which we find out later is a big part of it. And so there was a proxy there at the at Stark Industries waiting for Killian, and Happy was right to a certain extent. And so he goes and he follows the guy, and he ends up going to the Chinese theater, and we see the proxy there, and Happy goes to try and confront him, but before he does, the proxy gives this man, who's in rough shape, a something. And so he goes and eventually he blows up. And Happy is the casualty of this bombing, which was a huge bombing. And so then the next day he goes, like I said, he blows up. So then the Mandarin hits the airwaves again and says, look, I blew up your fake Chinese thing. And he talks about fortune cookies. And now, of course, he's in the hospital. And so you see that scene where he likes Downton Abbey and he wants... So Tony's actually trying to take care of him, make sure everybody's got their badges there and, you know, because he doesn't know if he's going to make it or not. So then he reassembles the blast through virtual reality, which we both agreed that we like this a lot. And And then he basically goes in front of the camera, and so as he's walking out of the hospital, he's being egged on by one of the members of the press. He's like, yeah, you want my response? Here's my response. It's just you and me, buddy. There's no Pentagon. It's just you and me. And if you're man enough, here's my home address. I'll leave the door unlocked. And then he picks up the guy's cell phone and throws it against a pillar. He's like, bill me.
That's really similar to original Tony, I think. Like, that was kind of his bravado. I think, like, he kind of toned it down, like, up until the Avengers. Because if you remember, like, the Jericho, when he was, like, you know, announcing that, went back to, like, the first Avengers. I mean, not the first Iron Man movie, where he was kind of cocky. And that really reminded me of the old Tony.
Yeah. So, at that point, we have a couple of helicopters. So we have Mia come in and basically say, look, you know, and she basically is trying to tell Tony that, you know, you might be in trouble, and she's trying to actually do the right thing. But, and then of course we see the two helicopters flying in and they destroy the beach house. And we see the scene with all of the rubble going down. I mean, by the way, one of two things. If they did destroy the beach house, how did they get the clears to do that? And if they didn't, that was one hell of a great job of CGI, you know?
And my question is, why didn't he have like a million people go to his house with giving out his address publicly?
Yeah, well, that's because I think they would have, you know what that might have been interesting though? If there had been a couple of false alarms.
Yeah, I think they could have gone a little, like, maybe they wouldn't even know that it was the Mandarin that had the attack, because it could have been somebody else. I mean, he's not super popular.
Yeah, and there was a couple false alarms, and then you see the helicopters come in. Yeah, that would have been an interesting way of actually doing it. So, she comes in, and basically, at that point, the two helicopters destroy the Malibu beach house. And so, but he's able to destroy the helicopters before they do that. So sometime later, he wakes up, and Jarvis actually sets off the low battery alarm. And so we see him actually wanting to fly away and get out of there, and then it just plummets to the earth and crashes full speed in this snowy forest. So it's one of those things. And then he thinks he's in Northern California, but he tells him he's in Tennessee. So being upset, yeah.
Tennessee. I was just going to ask you where it was. I couldn't remember.
Rose Hill, Tennessee. I don't even know if that's a real city. Sounds good, though. But so Jarvis then asks for a flight plan. So Jarvis essentially shuts down. So he has no more power. And that's when you see him starting to pull the suit through the snow. And he stops at a payphone. And he calls Pepper and says, listen, I'm sorry. Because here at the time, Tony was like, look, I can't control this. I can't sleep. When I sleep, I have nightmares. I'm trying to do the best I can. And one of his suits, so you see him actually, you see the shot of them in bed and him actually having a nightmare. And so she's trying to wake him up. And next thing you know, the suit scares her. And then he disassembles it. And she basically says, you know, I'll recalibrate this. And she's like, yeah, I'll go sleep downstairs. So she's pretty upset with him. He's trying to make a recompense with him or her. And so he steals a poncho and then goes off into a cigar store. And then he ends up in this little shed, if you will. And he begins to repair the suit, but the house isn't empty. It's occupied by a 10-year-old kid named Harley Keener. And, you know, it's interesting. So this was played by Ty Simpkins. I don't think I've ever seen him in any other, like, and maybe he's still acting. It's been X number of years later, but that was like his one role to really, you know, as a child actor, really break him out. It's unfortunate. You know, he was a good actor for his time.
He was a good actor. He was actually, you know, they always put in kids to show like, oh, the impact of the disaster, but he actually had more screen time than most kids I've seen.
Yeah. Tony asked for his help and basically said that, so he doesn't want to tell him who he is immediately, so he calls himself the mechanic because he's asking too many questions, and one of the questions actually triggers another anxiety attack. So he then goes back. So now we go back to Pepper to try and find any clues to see if Tony's alive, and so she gets a voicemail from Tony. And so meanwhile, Harley and Tony are now starting to bond, and this is where Tony's basically giving him some pointers because he was bullied, and so he makes a potato gun for him, and so which he'll get later on. But
I think this was good shadowing to show that Tony would actually be a good dad. I think
that's a great point. And I wonder if this point they knew, when I say they, I mean Marvel knew where they were going with this. Because they planned so far in advance. Do you really think they had an idea?
I think they did. I think they kind of thought that this would establish, like, I never thought Tony as like a kid person before this, because, you know, he was like a bachelor type, but I think this really solidified him as being like the cool dad.
Yeah. So he goes and he then actually goes to one of these bombings, and he says about the soldier, you know, so basically Harley tells him about it. And so he notices the victims were there except Chad Davis, the man who killed himself. Then he meets with his mother and says, you know, I don't think your son committed suicide by himself. I think somebody helped him. So he's starting to put the pieces together, and somebody else, one of Killian's agents, Ellen Brand, comes in. She says she's from Homeland Security. So they have to go through and basically they have to escape. So he throws a file underneath a desk. So yeah, so we never see her again, but then Tony's now trying to get away from her and electrocutes her. So as we move on in the story, and we go back to the Mandarin. So here's another Mandarin appearance, and this time he kills a oil company CEO on live television. Of course, this is all leading up to what happens in the climax of the film. So the president doesn't make the phone call, even though he wants to, and his advisors say no, because that's the whole thing with the Americans. They don't negotiate with terrorists. So he kills him. And so Rhodey thinks he's actually found where the Mandarin is, but he has found one of the hideouts. So back in Tennessee, so basically this movie has two, I mean, with any story, it has two or three major storylines. You have Tony and Harley, you have the Mandarin, and then you have, even though Pepper's not in this one a lot, she's still in it to a certain extent, and they all kind of come together. But really, it's the Tony storyline and the Mandarin storyline. So eventually Tony finds a TV van and finds out what AIM is really doing with extremists. And so this is when so he has another panic attack, and this is when Harley says, you need to go build something. So he goes to the store, and he buys all of these things, and he makes these things, and he actually feels better. So they find out where he is. I said, Tony and Rhodey find out where he is, and so Tony goes to the hideout. And this is when the big reveal happens, what you were saying, Anne. He is, we see Ben Kingsley, and Ben Kingsley is not the Mandarin. He is an actor. By the way, I'm just curious, have you seen that short called All Hail to the King? Yes, there is. I'm going to watch it maybe tonight. There's a short, and it talks about what happens to him after Iron Man 3.
Oh.
It's about 13 or 14 minutes.
Is it on Disney, or is it just something I'm going to... Okay.
No, it's on Disney Plus. It's on Disney Plus. I'm absolutely going to watch it. But yeah, so it talks about what... And I found that they wanted to actually... It was fascinating that they actually wanted to continue the story of this actor. Like, who is this guy?
I mean, they had him. They had to do something. I mean, if you have an award-winning actor, you've got to use him.
An Academy Award-winning actor at that. Yeah, so that could have been a very good... They could have actually gone off and done a whole other thing with him. Do you know what I mean? I mean, he's not a Marvel character per se with superhero powers. But maybe you have him, you know, that's a whole character arc. He could maybe have the Mandarin. You could have had a whole spinoff series. I know I'm reaching, but.
I mean, they could have had it as like a comedy something or other, you know, like him escaping the Avengers. Maybe like the Avengers are chasing him and it's just like a comedy escape movie. I think that would have been good.
Yeah. Once I watch it, we'll actually have to we'll do a whole little podcast, like a separate one on All Hail the King. Just as a coordinated thing along with Iron Man 3. So we get finality with him. But hey, guys, have you ever thought about starting your own podcast but don't know where to start? Let me tell you, it's easier than you think. I use Anchor.fm. It has all the tools to allow you to record and edit your podcast from either your phone or your computer. And let me tell you, that's great when you've got a busy work schedule like mine. It's got everything you'll need to make your podcast successful. And the best part is, it won't cost you a thing. It's totally free. When you host on Anchor, you'll get everything you need to distribute your podcast to a bunch of other platforms, such as Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and much more. So go download the Anchor app today or go to anchor.fm to get started. No, I think that would be fascinating thing. So yeah, we'll have to come back next week and do something like that, just as a little coordinated thing. So Tony uses the IP from the Mandarin to hijack the American airwaves, and he finds him in Miami. And so he goes through with all the stuff that he made, and he, you know, shoots people with the potato gun, and he has the taser. So he eventually gets captured. So he finds out, yeah, so he gets captured and he's strapped to the bed frame. And I thought that was, of course, Marvel with their humor, and they do it just perfectly timed. And he's like, yeah, these things are going to be coming in 5, 4, 3. And it was like 3 or 4 times. It's like, all right, we get the guy. So eventually one of the pieces hits the guy. And so he's able to actually get free. So Killian comes down and he explains to Tony that, hey, listen, you should have joined this all these years ago. And he says, so then Mia comes to her senses and says, look, Killian, you're doing the wrong thing. You're killing these people. And so he eventually shoots her. Well, lucky for you, there was a high-ranking opportunity that just opened up. Yeah. So eventually Tony escapes. And this is when the Iron Patriot now is now one of Killian's proxies, the proxy that blew up the Chinese. And so now we're on Air Force One, and this is where we see the big sequence of, now Tony gets to on Air Force One, and basically he kills the proxy. But before he does that, there's a hole blown in the side of Air Force One. We see all these people go down. And actually, it was an interesting scene. Not interesting, I should say, but well done, because those were actual people. I mean, there wasn't any CGI involved. That was all practical. Which I found...
That's impressive. I just feel like Marvel is so CGI heavy. I'm impressed with that.
Yeah, that was all practical. And so they had... I mean, they were stunt people, don't get me wrong. But yeah, they were all practical. It was all practical. I mean, so basically Tony gets everybody, saves everybody. And then at that point, Pepper is now captured. And this is the last time we see Pepper. And then... So he's holding Pepper hostage and saying, well, you know, we don't know how long she has, type of thing, threatening Tony, because he wants to kill Tony, obviously. And so At that point, we have the final battle. So then you go to the shipyard, and the president's being hung up on the crane. And so Rhodey's there. And I thought, so what did you think of all the Iron Man suits coming? So that was the other big reveal.
Looking back, it makes me kind of think of Age of Ultron. It just kind of seems like a precursor to it. You know, he's using it. He kept building them because I think it made him feel better. It gave him a sense of power. And it's just to show, like, okay, this guy is way overboard. He's kind of gone on the far side of things.
Well, he didn't know what to do because, you know, his PTSD, this was all he knew. And he was building and building and building and building and building and building. And that's a scene that he has with Pepper. He's like, look, I don't know. You go to sleep, I come down here and I tinker. This is all I know how to do. And I want to do the one thing that I can know how to do is protect the only person I love, and that's you. So he has Jarvis enacts with the house call protocol is what it's called. And so you have all of these different Iron Man suits. And so there's like 10 or 12 of them that are just hovering over. So
I don't think Tony has really good coping strategies, to tell you the truth. Because, like, didn't he graduate from, like, MIT when he was, like, 13 or some crazy young age?
I don't know his backstory. Now, that will be fascinating to find out. We only know, I think Marvel only told us that he's the son of Howard Stark.
No, I remember, you know, in the first thing where they're talking about his backstory, you know, like they were showing magazine covers. I think one of the magazine covers showed him graduating early.
Might have. You're probably right. I didn't pick up on that.
So I think he might be a little messed up because he didn't grow up like a normal person.
Yeah, absolutely. That would definitely have something to do with it. And then, you know, factor in the relationship he had or lack thereof with his father, or he thought it was a lack, you know, and he finds out with that his father always cared about him but didn't really know. So, yeah, that's definitely a possibility. So, house party protocol enacted, and then, you know, so after the battle. So that was the other cool scene. This was the first time we get to see Pepper in the suit. So when Killian's kind of almost out of it. So Tony almost thinks he loses Pepper. And then, you know, because she falls to... Yeah, so everybody thinks, you know, oh my God, lost her. And then you see her come back and kill a weakened Killian. And he's like, you know, I thought I lost you. And he's like, no. He appreciates her more after that, as you would anybody, right? And as a show of his love to Pepper, Jarvis initiates a clean slate protocol and destroys all the suits.
I'm surprised he had that, to tell you the truth. I'm surprised he had, like, a protocol built in. Like, it seems like he wouldn't even entertain that as an option to me.
Yeah. So, the other twist is the Vice President Slady, who is one of his assistants, is arrested because of the way they were trying extremists is he, the Vice President, actually was using it for his own measures. And so it was a little girl, his little girl, and so they arrest him. So at that point, Tony mentions Pepper's cured, and then we see Tony go under the knife to get the shrapnel removed. And so he pitches the obsolete chest reactor into the sea and basically saying that he doesn't need it anymore because he's who he is. And so he takes spare parts from the house and drives off. And the coolest scene, I thought, I mean, if we're going to talk about the whole movie, we got to end on a good note, right? So the kid comes home from another bad day at school. And he walks in and the whole place is littered with brand new stuff. A brand new potato gun, Mach 2, and all this stuff. And so, I mean, just as a scientist type of thing. And so he's like, this is from, thank you from the mechanic. So that was a really cool note.
Do you think he put two and two together? Like, anyway, yeah. I mean...
No. Ask a question.
Oh, I was just wondering if the kid figured out who the mechanic...
Oh, yeah, I'm sure he did. Oh, yeah. I'm sure he did. I'm sure he did. And he didn't say anything because he didn't want to. I think, so I'll tell you when I think he put it together is when he said, you need to go build something. And he actually, you know, calmed Tony down. Because the first time he did it, if you remember, he had an anxiety attack. The second time he did it, he said, go build something. He's like, oh, wait a minute. You're right. So that's when it went on. And then, of course, you know, you see the suit. At that point, Iron Man's, you know, so. But yeah, that would have been what would have been really cool, Ian, is if he would have made like a whole voice recognition, something like Jarvis for himself. That would have been cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the post-credit scene is one of the funnier ones. It's revealed that Stark's been recounting all of his experiences to the doctor. And he awakens from his sleep. He's like, you didn't hear a thing I said, did you? He's like, I lost you in 1999. So that was a funny scene. I gotta ask, I think I know, but out of the three Iron Man movies, rank them 1, 2, and 3. I think I know, but go ahead.
I mean, it's just in that order, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the first Iron Man, you can't get over, right?
No, I can't.
It's just that good. The second one was all right, and the third one, there's a reason why it's a lower tier, and it's not bad. It's not bad. It's not like Thor the Dark World, but it's a lower tier movie. I mean, listen, it made $1.8 billion, so it can't be that bad, right? And I'm not trying to quantify things, but story-wise, if we're going to go on story, there were strong points there, but it didn't hold up to the other two. I think we've talked about it, or I've said it on another podcast. It's so difficult to make sequels that are as good as the original because the expectation is there. And by the way, stay tuned next week. We have our main topic will be reboots, remakes, and sequels and how that drives Hollywood. So stay tuned for that. But yeah, it's just one of those things where, and I think too, when you have a director that doesn't have a lot of experience, I mean, he directed 7 more movies than I have, but so it's one of those things. So we're now into phase 2, and I got to find out what's next week. Let's find out what is next week. Hold on. This is the one time I don't have it in front of me. Let's see. List order of release. Here we go. Okay, so next week we have... Oh, the one I was just mentioning. Oh, no. Thor the Dark World.
Well, you got to cover it.
Yes, absolutely. But the week after that, the next 2 weeks after that are going to be fun. We got Captain America, and I think we both agreed on this. It's one of the top 5 MCU movies. Captain America, The Winter Soldier. And, of course, your favorite, which I will let you do this all by yourself if you wanted, Guardians of the Galaxy. So that's, I can't wait to hear you. I mean, we know what your thoughts are to a certain extent, and it's going to be fascinating to hear that. And then as we move on, a few weeks after that, we've got Avengers, the sequel, Avengers Age of Ultron, and then Ant-Man. So we do have some good stuff coming up for you. And starting in June, don't forget, everybody, we do have Sci-Fi Sunday starting. That's going to be all of the Star Trek movies first in chronological order, just like these MCU movies. That is going to be a subscription base, and I will let you know how much that's going to be. But don't worry, if you don't want to subscribe, you don't have to. There's going to be plenty of other content for you to have. You'll always have your main content with Illo and myself. You'll have the weekly roundup, which is always good, and then you'll have these Flashback Friday episodes. So that's it. So I'm excited. So now that we're into phase 2, is there any movie besides Guardians that you're really looking forward to?
Doctor Strange. I think it's in that bracket, isn't it?
Yeah, I think Doctor Strange might be there. It's yeah. So it's about 6 weeks away. So let me tell you guys the next 4 or 5 or 6 movies coming up. So we got Thor: The Dark World next week. We got Captain America: The Winter Soldier. We got Guardians of the Galaxy, Avengers: Age of Ultron, and Civil War. Then we got Doctor Strange, which is going to be the 14th. Then we got Guardians 2. And then we've got Spider-Man No Way Home. And then another one that you're really going to like. So that's when it starts to get really good. Then we got Spider-Man No Way Home, Thor Ragnarok, Black Panther. So we got a lot of good stuff coming up. So stay tuned. If you haven't already subscribed, hit that follow button. And we got a lot of stuff coming up for you this summer. We got, you know, Top Gun coming up. We're going to do a whole spoiler cast on that. We're going to have Anne back to talk about what she thinks about Thor Love and Thunder. This could be the end of Thor as we know it. We'll have to wait and see on that. And then down the road, we have in October, we have Wakanda Forever, the sequel to Black Panther. So, on that note, I'm David Steele.
And I'm Anne Cargard.
And you have been listening to Real Talks.